your Bible, I invite you to take it and open it to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is going to be on page 857. If you're using the Bible in the pew in front of you while you're looking for Luke chapter 2, when we were greeting one another, somebody slipped this note into the place where I was seated, and I'll just read it to you. It says, "We love RG3. Go Bears." So maybe I'll just preach like this today. That Heisman pose, man, it's been a long time coming. All those places in the Bible. How long, oh Lord? How long? Yesterday. This year. Hey, over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the special Christmas season and the special meaning behind this whole season called Advent. We've been talking about the meaning of that word Advent. The word Advent, we've just been realizing, means arrival or coming. And so we've just been talking about, what does it mean for us to prepare for the Lord's arrival, to prepare for the Lord's coming. And this Advent season, an Advent, an arrival, a coming that took place 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate that birth that took place, not necessarily in this manger, but in the manger in Bethlehem. And some of you may be going, what's up with the manger? It kind of looks a little different. Man, at 6 o'clock tonight, this place is going to be filled with Arapaho Road kids, and we are having the Arapaho Road kids arts production. It's going to be a great time. Bethlehem or bust, and I cannot wait. I saw a little bit of it the other night. Cannot wait for tonight. And it's just going to remind us that, man, there was an Advent, an arrival, a coming that took place 2,000 years ago. And there's also another arrival, another coming, a second Advent that's going to take place sometime. Because Jesus said, hey, I'm coming back. I'm going to arrive again. And so we've just been kind of talking the last couple of weeks, what does God want us to do between the first and the second arrival, the first and second Advent? And we've just been talking about God saying, hey, I want you to bless people. God bless us, everyone. I've come to bless you, and I want you to be a blessing to other people. We've just talked about that being an interesting word, Advent. It comes from the Latin word Adventus, and in the Greek, that word Adventus is the word parousia, and how parousia in the New Testament always refers to the second coming, to the time when Jesus is going to come back, when he's going to arrive again. And so this season of Advent, it's a season of expectation. It's a season of celebration for his arrival. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you, I want to see a show of hands here in a minute, how many of you are expecting somebody or somebodies to arrive in your home at some point during this Christmas season? Just raise your hand. That could be friends coming over for a Christmas party. I mean, get them up there high. Let's just go all in here. Maybe it's family members coming to your house. Yeah, okay, that's happening at our place too. And man, if you're hosting a Christmas party or going to be hosting people, family, friends in your home during the Christmas season, you likely are going to have some kind of house and home preparation that's going to take place before you really let anybody inside. I mean, preparing the inside of the house for Christmas, can I just tell you, that is about clearing space. And for some of you, I know for our family, man, after we got past Thanksgiving, then it is space-clearing time, and it is a time to prepare for people to come over for this season to be here. We got to clear space for the tree. We got to clear space for the presents that are supposed to go under the tree. We've got to clear space by the chimney, because that's where the stockings will be hung with such great care. I mean, we've got some preparation that's supposed to take place over there. And during this time, we make space. And all that stuff that's been out the last 11 months, we've got to figure out space to put in. And so that might be the attic. That might be in a closet. You may want to throw it out in the backyard for a while. Couldn't do that at our house because we've got a big dog. And his name is Grizz. And he chews stuff up. We love him. He does other things back there too. I'm glad that we don't have neighbors yet. They're still building their house. I'm just telling you, their backyard is going to be so green in the spring. It's just really going to be, we're preparing their place for them. But man, you just got to figure out what to do with all your stuff, because you got to put Christmas stuff out and you need space. And when you clear the space, that's not good enough, because then you got to clean that space that you've just cleared out for the presents and the people and the parties. And I don't know how it is at your house, but I know how it is at our house, that when Allison knows somebody's coming, she just, I mean, something, she goes into a different mode. Kind of a little bit of a different gear. In fact, when Allison is expecting someone's arrival, it's not just about clearing space, it's about deep cleaning that space in our house. Allison approaches, an arrival a little bit differently than I do. Maybe some of you guys can go, yeah, they must be on Facebook comparing notes or something. Let me just tell you, for me, you know, it's just kind of a two-point checklist. Are there fresh remotes in the batteries in the remote? Yep. I don't even have to be the one to put it in there. I just need to make sure, you know, does that work? Yeah, okay. Is the fridge stocked? Check. Let's go. Bring them on. Come on. Come on over. We're good to go. Allison's a bit more detailed. Her checklist runs a bit deeper than mine does, such as, are the beds made? Well, you know, it's a Christmas party. They're not sleeping over. Don't think. But not only are they made, they've got to be made with freshly cleaned sheets. And not just made, they've got to be folded the right way. They got to be, there's a certain tuck. We've got to have tuckage around that has to be there. We got to have fluffage in the pillows. You can't just make a bed. No, it's got to be just right. Carpets, are they vacuumed? Not just vacuumed. Are they steam cleaned? Because when people come to our house, of course, our dog levitates. It doesn't walk on the carpet. Our children never once have come in from the outside and not taken their shoes off. We this is like our house all the time. It's always steam cleaned and perfect. I mean, there's dusting that must take place. There's shining and polishing of bathrooms and bathroom mirrors. And of course, there are cabinets and the refrigerator and the pantry that all must be reorganized. But because heaven forbid somebody should come to our house and open our refrigerator or our pantry or our cabinet and there'd be disorganization, that would totally squash the Christmas spirit. Disorganization, they're out of here. I mean, they just go off the deep end. Guys, is anybody in here feeling my pain? I mean, guys, if you're feeling my pain, can you just give me a grunt? Like, ugh. Yes, thank you. We are monosyllabic peoples. With that, don't get, you know, dual syllables in there, multiple syllables, just, you know, that's all guys sometimes can really understand. But I'm telling you, this kind of preparation for an arrival, guys, it's just foreign to us, isn't it? I mean, show me the guy that took a day off work and went down to the deer lease to get deer camp, you know, the cots made for his buddies to come down and for the dusting to have taken place. And for the deer corn to have been all, you know, organized. And, you know, you show me that guy, I'll show you a guy that didn't bag a deer this deer season. That's what I'll show you. But ladies, your home is a reflection of who you are, isn't it? And you see you sitting there going, yeah, it's a reflection of who you are. And what kind of homemaker you are. After 9 years of marriage, I'm learning these kind of things. Because, you know, if somebody's headed to your house, especially if it's your mother-in-law, man, it's on like Donkey Kong. I mean, we're getting deep clean. deep in the fibers, getting that clean. And this whole preparation for a place, an arrival, reminds me of a book that we've read to our kids the last few years. It's called Who is Coming to Our House? This is To Jack and Lucy Love Mimi and Granddaddy, Christmas 2007. This is a great little book. This little book is all about preparing a place for an arrival, for a coming of someone special, for an advent. You can see the pictures on the screen. I just want to read it
to you. We've read this book a lot, haven't we, Jack? Haven't we, Lulu? Yeah. Yeah, you remember this? Who is coming to our house? Someone. Someone, says Mouse. Make room, says Pig. I will butt aside the rig. We must clean, says Lamb. Dust the beams, says Ram. Who is coming to our house? Someone. Someone, says Mouse. Sweep the earth, says Chick. Stack the hay, says Goose, and quick. Spin new webs, says Spider. I will line the crib with eider. Who is coming to our house? Someone, someone, says Mouse. Someone's coming from afar. I will nose the door ajar. But it is dark, says Cat. They will never come, says Rat. Yes, they'll come, says Mouse. Someone's coming to this house. I will lay an egg, says Hen. I will spread my tail for them. Who is coming to our house? Mary and Joseph, whispers Mouse. Welcome. Welcome to our house. And so we find out who it was that's coming to the animal's house on the outskirts of Bethlehem that first Christmas. And we see the story unfold in Luke chapter 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 7. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Now I want you to notice something. Did you see why baby Jesus was not born in the inn? Look at the end of verse 7 again. Because there was what? No place. There was no place for them in the inn. You might just want to underline that phrase. No place. Did you know why baby Jesus was born in the animal house and laid in that manger? Because evidently, there was a place for him out there, even in the midst of the mess. Now, the Bible doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about how that place was prepared like our little children's book does. But what I do see as I read through the pages of Scripture from really Old Testament all the way through the New Testament is that when it comes to God arriving at a place, here's the deal. God arrives at the places prepared for Him. Can we just take an out loud note together and just say that? God arrives at the places prepared for Him. And do you know what I see happening throughout the pages of Scripture? When God begins to arrive on the scene of places that have been prepared for Him, I see blessing. I see blessing begin to follow the presence of the Lord and fall upon the people who've prepared a place for Him. Blessing is the byproduct for those who prepare for an arrival of God. A prepared place, a prepared home, a prepared life that is ready for the arrival of the presence of God, and subsequently they become a candidate to be blessed by God. Jesus, He was born in a manger to bring blessing to everyone who would prepare room in their home, in their heart, in their life to receive Him upon arrival. God came to bless us. Every single one of us who would prepare a place for His arrival, for His advent. God bless us, everyone. It's right there. Did you see it? It's right there in Luke 2. It's the next verses that follow. Look at verses 8 through 10 with me. I'll show you. It's for everyone. In verse 8, it says this, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And an angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for who? All the people.'" All the people. Underline that phrase, all the people, in your Bible. All the people. Do you know another way that that can be translated? Everyone. God bless all the people. God bless everyone. Folks, the good news of great joy is for all the people. It's for everyone. It's for the neat freaks and for the slobs. It's for the women and for the men. It's for the young and for the old, for the Americans, for the Arabs, for the Republicans, for the Democrats, for the white collar, for the blue collar, for the Aggies, for the Longhorns, for the Heisman Trophy winners. It's for everybody. It is for everybody, for the Jews and the Gentiles. It's for people like you and people like me. Everyone. God wants to bless us, everyone. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." That's for everyone. Yes, every single one of us. And here's what the good news is. Verse 11, in case you were wondering. Maybe you've seen it on a Christmas card, but here's where it originated from. Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Underline that phrase in your Bible. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know what that phrase is talking about? A Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's talking about somebody that we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for a Savior to arrive. That prophecy is all throughout the Old Testament. And on this day, in the city of David, a Savior, the one we've been waiting for, has arrived. His advent has come. And it's for everyone. That is good news. That's really good news. And it doesn't matter if there's dust on the beams, if the condition of the carpet is steam clean, or the straw is soiled. As long as there's a place that's semi-prepared, he's ready to take up residence there. God came near and he blessed us. Everyone, every single one of us who prepares a place for him. I love what Richard Rohr says in this little Advent devotional that I've been reading through and praying through during this Advent and Christmas season. Richard Rohr says this: "We are always the stable into which the Christ is born anew. All we can really do is keep our stable honest and humble, and the Christ will surely be born." I mean, are you prepared for Jesus to arrive and to begin to live or to continue living in the stable of your life, of your heart, of your home? Do you have a place that's been prepared for him? I mean, when he arrives again, are you ready? Are you going to be ready? Have you made preparation? I mean, is your life, is it honest? Is it humble? I'm not asking you if it's perfect. I'm not asking you if it's been steam cleaned this week. I'm just asking you, is it honest and humble? As you're just going, "God, I just want a place you can take up residence. I just want a space for you to occupy that's ready for your arrival, stable ready, manger ready, a place prepared for a king. And if you're going, some of you right now are tracking with me and you're just going, no. You know, my heart and my home, they're not ready, if I'm honest. And you're asking me to be honest. I'm asking you to be honest. And some of you are just going, man, if I'm being honest, no, it's not ready. Man, I'm stressed out. I couldn't pass a stress test if somebody paid me. No, it's not ready. Not only is my home a mess, my life's a mess. My marriage is a mess. My kids are a mess. My in-laws are beating me down. My parents are on my case. My boss is a lunatic. I'm making some really bad choices in my life for myself and for my family. Man, the last thing I need is for the Lord to come walking through and arrive at my home. No, I'm not really ready right now. Man, if that's you, can we just take a deep breath and let me just tell you something? Man, if that's you, I'm so glad that you're here, mess and all. And better than that, God's really glad that you're here. He specializes in messes. He specializes in messy people like you and me that don't have their life all steam cleaned out. Folks, that's what the Advent season is for. It is a runway to Christmas morning, that we have a unique opportunity to focus our hearts and to focus our minds and to focus our lives on what really matters. Can I just tell you, it's not about 13 more shopping days until Christmas, although that's good news for some of you. If Jesus doesn't come back between now and Christmas, it's about a gift of 13 days that everywhere you go, you can be reminded, I need to be in preparation mode for an arrival that could happen at any moment. Am I focused or scattered right now? Am I honest or lying? Am I humble or proud? He's coming. The King is coming. Are you ready? Can I tell you, better than the 13 days, He's given you right now to be present in this place and for your heart and your mind and your life and your home to begin to make a focused shift towards Him and to connect your heart and to begin to create space. Let God do the cleaning. You just create the space. And He's going, I just want to be right there. If this right here could just be the next stable, that'd be glorious. And that's what He wants. Folks, God arrives at the places prepared for Him. And blessing follows that arrival of God's presence. Blessing may look like these toys that many of you have brought back that are going to go to bless about 100 kids in our community who are in a tough way right now. And thank you for those who have said, man, we'll step up. We'll bless somebody else in our community. Thank you for that. Those are going to be delivered later on today and this week. But blessing comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. It's not just more stuff, more toys. It's not just a bigger Christmas bonus. It's not even front row parking at Walmart, although that'd be a great blessing. Maybe blessing for some of us are what is represented in these candles that have been a reminder. Maybe for some of us it's blessing of hope that God begins to give, or peace, or joy, or love. Maybe it's comfort that you haven't felt in a long, long time. Maybe it's a blessing of perspective or a blessing of wisdom that begins to come as you are in conversation with other people. Maybe it is a relationship that is about to turn the corner because you've been creating space and God's going, I'm going to fill that space with my Spirit in a fresh way that's going to allow for healing to take place. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction and you're going, I cannot get out of this. I can't kick it by myself. And you begin to create space, and God just begins in the next year to go, I'm going to give you all of the discipline that you need and begin to surround you with people that will be a blessing to you. And freedom may be around the corner because you begin to consciously create space for God in your life. So that whenever He comes back, you're ready. But right now, you're living with a readiness. I don't know what blessing looks like for you. I just know that God arrives at the places that are prepared for Him. And blessing tends to follow the arrival of God's presence. Are you a candidate to receive blessing today? Are you ready for an arrival right now? Is your place prepared for a king? Have you begun this Advent season to clear some space in your life for God, in your heart, in your mind, in your home? Can I just tell you this? If you've done that or you're in the process of doing that, can I tell you what Jesus is doing at the exact same time that you're creating space and preparing a place? He's doing the same thing. Another one of those great Christmas passages that we've all been waiting to read around the tree. We were in Genesis 12 a couple of weeks ago. You know, last week we were in Matthew 24. I mean, the stuff you just don't usually read around the tree. Can I read another one to you that shows us what our great King is doing? It's in John 14. Turn to the right a few pages. I'll show you what Jesus is doing right now. John 14 is going to be on page 901 if you're using the pew and the Bible in front of you. John 14, verse 1, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says this. He says in John 14, verse 1, hey, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that what? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Second Advent. I will come again and take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is such a great leader because He never asks us to do anything He's not willing to do as well. And He's saying, will you prepare and create space and a place for Me? As your leader, I'm going to do the same thing for you. That is glorious. That is wonderful news. And it just causes me to ask the question, am I prepared for His arrival? Is my place ready? And just look what Jesus goes on to say in verse 23. This is awesome. Verse 23, Jesus says this, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. And My Father will love him. And we will come to Him and make our home with Him. So is your life prepared to receive the presence of God and thus be a candidate for blessing? And some of you are sitting there right now going, I don't know. How could I know? Fair question. You guys keep asking good questions. Let me ask you two questions. You can just answer out loud on this first one. How do you know? Do you love Jesus? Okay, a good answer. Now let me ask you the second question about preparation for your home, for your life. We've already kind of all said, yeah, I love Jesus. How about this one? Are you keeping His word? Well, did you see what it said in verse 23? Let's just look again. If anyone loves Me, and I heard a lot of yeses, here's how you know if you've got space cleared. If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. My Father will love him. We'll come to Him. We'll make our home with Him. See, part of what Advent helps us to do is focus our lives in such a way that we begin to take some inventory on our love for Jesus and our obedience to His Word. That's part of what Christmas is about. I mean, is that you? Does your life look like one that not only loves Jesus, but also lives according to His Word? And man, is your life one that's placed all hope, all trust, all belief in Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who forgives sin and gives new life to people? Man, if it is, if that's a picture of you, know this, Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, He is at the right hand of the Father right now, preparing a place for you. That's good news. That is really good news. He's preparing a place for your arrival. Whenever you breathe your last breath here on earth, is your heart and your life and your mind, your home, all of who you are, is it a manger where Jesus lives by His Holy Spirit today? Are you ready for His advent, for His arrival, for His coming again? If you are, do what the angels said to do. Rejoice. Rejoice. And let me just encourage you to use these next 13 days, if Jesus doesn't come back between now and then, because He didn't tell us when He was coming. He just said He was coming. But if He doesn't come between now and Christmas Day, would you use these next 13 days to continue a preparation, to continue clearing space for His arrival? Some of you are going, how do you do that? I knew you were going to ask that question, so we thought we'd write some stuff out just to give you some starters. Take your sermon notes. I just want to show you something. We always try to equip you to live the way God wants you to live when you leave this place. Being a follower of Jesus goes far beyond an hour or two on Sunday. It's a life. And so what we try to do each week are write some table talk questions here for you to process based on whatever it is we've been dealing with. And underneath number three, this sentence is written. The following are some ideas to help you prepare your heart and home for Advent each day leading to Christmas Day. And then there's just six or seven different ideas that may begin to help you start clearing space. I encourage you to do this as an individual over the next 13 days, as a couple, with your kids at bedtime. Make this a part of your bedtime routine just to begin to prepare for whenever Jesus is coming back, whenever that day may be. I really do believe that honest, intentional, simple, yet humble steps toward preparing your heart and your home for Christmas is going to make all the difference in the world when it comes to your life with God. And can I just tell you this? If you've never made space in your heart for Jesus, or you're sitting here going, I can't remember if I've ever done that. I mean, I kind of grew up going to this church because mom and dad would make me go, and with that, that guy up there would say some stuff, and I think I said some stuff, but I don't know. Man, if you've never done that, or you're not sure, can I just tell you, Jesus doesn't get offended at you wanting to make sure that there's space in your life for Him. It's not that kind of God. He doesn't get offended at that. He gets offended when we live lives of disobedience and sin and just don't give Him the time of day. But for people to come and to gather around and say, God, I want to create space, He's just going, let's settle that. Let's do that. If you've never done that, or you don't know if you've done that, I'm just going to ask you right where you are just to bow your head. All of us, we just bow our heads for a few moments. I don't want to manipulate you. I don't want to do anything weird so that you're kind of going, oh, that was kind of strange. I just want to give you a few moments. And if you've already done this, I'm going to ask you just to pray for those in the room who may not have ever cleared space in their heart for the Lord to take up residence by His Holy Spirit. And if you have never done that, and that's something that you're going, man, I think God wants me to do that, right? I want to do that. I don't know what all I believe, but Jesus, would you just help me believe right now? And you want to begin to take a step towards Him you might want to just pray a very simple prayer, a humble prayer, an honest prayer to Jesus. And it may go something like this. And if you want to pray these words, you feel free to do that right where you are. Dear Jesus, I want to believe in you. As best I can, I'm taking a step towards you. I believe that you're perfect, and I know I'm imperfect. I believe that you lived a perfect life and died on a cross to forgive people, all of us, especially me, of my sin. Jesus, I put my faith and hope and trust in you. And as best I know how, I believe in you right now. I'm making space. Would you live inside of me by your Holy Spirit? Would you forgive me and live inside of me? Just keep your head bowed for a moment, but if you prayed that or some form of that, or you took a step towards God in clearing space, and you hadn't ever done that before, or you're not sure and you were making sure, would you just make eye contact with me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you and me to have just a little accountability. Okay? Anybody else? Okay? All right? Anybody else? Okay? Anybody else? My prayer is that you wouldn't let it stay there, that you would walk in it. What does that look like? We're going to stand and sing in a moment. And I invite you and encourage you to just come and just say, hey, I took a step. And we'll help you figure out the next step. Some of you may want to make Arapahoe Road your church home. Come take a step and meet me down here in a minute. Others may need to follow Christ in baptism, or maybe you want to just pray at these altar steps. Maybe you want to go and take communion at one of our four stations and just say, Lord, I'm clearing space. And as I take and eat and take and drink the bread and cup, I'm just reminding myself that I remember you. Jesus, we love you this morning. Amen. Going to ask you to stand in just a moment. My friend Wes is going to lead us. You can go ahead and stand. Wes is going to sing and lead us in a very familiar song. And if you need to make a decision or make a decision public, I'm going to be down here. We're just going to invest these moments before the Lord, preparing our hearts. So, Wes, you lead us. And whatever you need to do, you do it in these next moments.